Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, brought to you by Chuck McDowell and Medical House Calls, Middle Tennessee's best medical care in the comfort and safety of your own home. For more information, go to medicalhousecalls.com. Medical House Calls, where the nearest clinic is your home. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keys are here with you on this Monday morning. The Vols, with a huge win at Alabama on Saturday, they take down the Crimson Tide 81-74. We've talked about the game. We'll get back into the game itself coming up here in just a few minutes. But I do want to ask the question to you, Joe Rexroad. I think Tennessee fans might be mad after I read this. Jared Stillman, our buddy Stilly, on Twitter on Saturday. I usually pick on Rick Barnes in Tennessee, especially this month. But between Connect and Adu, this team might be different. This game is a war. This was his tweet in the middle of the Alabama game the other night.
Okay.
They win the game. Another tweet from Stilly. Tennessee could beat the 90s Bulls at Thompson Bowling Arena, but tonight's win was on the road. It was a big one. Tennessee is for real. Still, he's bought in to Rick Barnes and company. What does that mean for the Vols?
Yeah, he texted me personally, and he said it reminded him of the 09 Louisville team. He said, but not – now, that team actually lost to – I was there. I think Jared must have been there too. Lost to Michigan State in the Elite Eight in Indy. But they were loaded. Terrence Williams, Earl Clark, really good team. I mean, a straight-up national title contender. So, for whatever that's worth, he thought it reminded him of that team. So, yeah, I don't know. I don't know if you want that, Vols fans. You got enough. You're already worried. You're already, oh, my gosh, what's going to happen? Are they going to break our hearts again? And now you have Stilly on your bandwagon.
Tough place to be. So they get the win against Alabama, and they do it without Dalton Connect having a huge night on the road. So what does that performance, especially given that Connect, you know, didn't go off like he did in the Auburn game right before that, what does that win and the fashion that they did it tell you about this Tennessee team as we approach the SEC tournament?
Well, I think they're rounding into form. You know, it's the thing about Tennessee is they're so capable of playing different styles. And that's one thing Rick Barnes talked about after the game Saturday. You know, he's like, I mean, like they're two bigs getting foul trouble. So they go to Josiah at the five, and they're small, and they can do that. But also, he said, like, they can go, they do sometimes Adu Awaka. They can go Adu Awaka, James Connect, and then, like, Ziegler, and they'd be huge,
yeah.
You know? So they can play slow, they can play fast. They've played one thing about Tennessee this year, and I think this is one of the things that should make you feel better about them in March if you're a Vols fan, is that intentionally they have changed the tempo offensively. I mean, they've gone up. They are one of the faster teams. They have not been that. They have been a very slow tempo offensive team in the past few years, even when they've had, you know, some good offensive teams, but inconsistent, but slow. And the tempo's gone up. They've really prioritized speeding up the game offensively. It hasn't really hurt their defense. I mean, they have elite numbers on both sides of the ball. So this last week told me, one, you know, Dalton Connect. I mean, the Auburn performance was, like, insane. I mean, it was absolutely superstar. That's a Wooden Naismith, certainly SEC Player of the Year level performance, and it was one of the – I mean, Rick Barnes says one of the best things he's been a part of. That's a bold statement. That's a dude who's been coaching a head coach for almost 40 years.
Yeah.
Has had Kevin Durant among his great players. So, but then Alabama, you knew, and Connect really was kind of off from the start. He's just missing some shots he normally makes, taking a couple bad ones here and there, foul trouble, and then they're doubling him. And so Tennessee still wins in that place with that going on. But that's – Connect is still going to be central to, like, why. I mean, you think back to 2 years ago, Kennedy Chandler was starting to become a really, really good player, and he was destroying Michigan in that NCAA game. And then they zoned, and they said, he's not beating us, so they got these other guys who have shot well all year and all that stuff, but they're going to beat us. Well, they had wide-open threes. They didn't make a single big shot late in that game. And that still may be the case this year. It's still the worry – is that a team is going to say, Dalton's not beating us, someone else beat us.
Yeah.
But I think Stilly has a point there with Adu is also the best five that Barnes has had. He didn't really play that well the other night, I didn't think. He kind of got pushed around, and he was out, kind of out of the game. Sometimes that happens. You get those two fouls, you're kind of out of it. But late in the game, all of a sudden, he's getting big defensive boards, and he's making the right play offensively. He gets the huge three-point play. Maybe he missed the free throw, but three-point play opportunity. That's one of the big differences, is now it doesn't have to just be a three from Vescovy or James, you know? It can be, you know, but they have a lot of guys that can hurt you. Jordan Gainey kept him alive in the first half going to the rim. So I'm telling you basically that they're going to win the national championship. I mean, it all adds up to a word salad that I should have just said. They're probably going to win the Natty.
Well, the numbers are, let's just say the last 4 years, so before this season, they averaged 67 points per game in 19-20. They scored 71.9 in 2021. And, I mean, 2020/2021, not the year 2021. The year after that, they scored 73.5. Last year, they were at 70.8. This year, they're at 80.7. So you're talking about over a 10-point-per-game difference from last year to this year in terms of what they're scoring. Now, obviously, Connect is a huge part of that, but they're certainly, I mean, they're just they're a better offensive team than they are. This is the best offensive team that they've been since, you know, Schofield and Williams and those guys when they were scoring 82 points a game with that team. You combine that with a defense that is still really, really good. I mean, it feels like the best overall collection of talent slash the usage of the talent that we've seen under Rick Barnes. Does that mean that this is the year they break through the Final Four? I don't know. I mean, it comes down to how you play in crunch time, but I understand that there is going to be – when we get through this and get through the regular season here and you get through the tournament in the SEC, once the NCAA tournament begins, the conversation around this team is going to be like, all right, can they not choke? Like, can they get through this without choking in the NCAA tournament? And I get it. I really do. Trust me. It does feel like this team is well-built, probably as well-built as they've ever been to make a deep run in the NCAA tournament.
Yeah.
I know it kind of feels like we have that conversation on a yearly basis, but this one does feel a little bit different.
Yeah, I mean, 2 years ago, that team was good enough. That team at its best had a real chance. You know, they were three seed. Had a real chance. And, you know, again, like I said, they just – those guys came up small, shooting the ball, like clean looks, and like you have to hit those. But this team is absolutely better. This is Rick Barnes' best team at Tennessee, and I would submit. Look, I didn't watch the Ernie and Bertie teams, but I'd submit that this is probably the best, could potentially be the best team Tennessee has ever had. But look, the greatness of the NCAA tournament is that once you get. Even if you're a one seed, once you get to the second round, you can absolutely lose that game. I mean, that's part of why it's great, right? So some of it is just that you know, sometimes you just get beat in that tournament. I don't even know what, like the Florida Atlantic game last year, it was the offense completely went dried up. But let's also remember this with the Vols. You know, Zakai Ziegler is also one of the best point guards in college basketball.
Right.
He flat out is. He has rebounded so well from the ACL. You think about early in the season, he was playing, but he wasn't really. I mean, he's like, he didn't shoot well the other night, but he's one of the best point guards in college basketball. Let's not forget last year going to the Sweet 16, they didn't have him. And they've had him for two NCAA games when he was a freshman, and it was like, wow, what a great story, this little guy, and he's helping out, and yay. I mean, he is a junior point guard, and he's one of the best in the country. And that's another thing that you have to take into account. I mean, Kennedy Chandler even was a tremendous talent, but to me, they still have a better floor general now than they've had since probably Jordan Bone in 2019 with that team. I mean, everybody's old. Like, this team is old across the board. The only, like, young guy they have is Awaka as a sophomore. Everybody else is a junior or later, and then right. Vescovy and James are, like, 38 years old. I mean, Connect, you know, whatever he is, 23, 24. I mean, so it's a talent. Experience, cohesion, size, shooting. I mean, they've got everything.
Tennessee gets the huge win against Alabama on Saturday. Does this team feel different? Is this the one that breaks through for Rick Barnes and company once the NCAA tournament comes around and maybe punches their ticket to the Final Four? We'll take your thoughts on that. 615-737-1025, our phone number. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Tune in to 93.3 Classic Hits tomorrow as MTSU basketball takes on Liberty at home. Pregame at 5:30, tip-off at 6 o'clock with coverage also available on the 93.3 Classic Hits app and at 93.3ClassicHits.com. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road broadcasting live from our Spring Hill Heating and Cooling Game Nashville studios, keeping your home feeling comfortable all year round. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Tennessee takes down Alabama on Saturday. A big step towards a regular season SEC title for Tennessee to get that win on the road. They've got South Carolina on the road and Kentucky at home to close out the regular season. So two huge games coming up for Tennessee to close out the regular season here. We're taking your thoughts on the Vols. Michael on the text line says, the Alabama game, a perfect example of what Tennessee needs to succeed in March. Offensive production from guys other than Connect. But can they do that for five or six games in a row come tournament time? And that is a big question. Now, also, I mean, to me, Joe, if they're going to make a deep run, there's probably going to have to be a couple of games in there where Connect takes over.
Right.
And it doesn't necessarily have to be like the Auburn game, but, you know, 28 from Connect, 32 from Connect. They're going to need a couple of breakout performances from him if they're going to make a deep run.
Yeah. I think you saw the formula this last week. I mean, they were in desperation against Auburn, down eight. I mean, Jahni Broome's dominating them. You know, and they basically just they said Dalton put the cape on, and he did. And I mean, Auburn tried. I mean, at one point, Auburn actually accidentally tripled him. You know, I mean, they were trying to stop him and take the ball out of his hands, but he's hitting everything. So yeah, they're going to need some games where you know. So early in the game, they're just running their offense. You know, and they're getting him shots. They're getting other people shots. They're going to need some games where he comes right out and he's hot. You know, right away and starts building that. Because he just wasn't against Alabama. And so, I mean, really, Tennessee could have been blowing Alabama out at halftime in that game. And they were down, which was stunning to me because they outplayed them pretty badly. So, yeah, five or six games, for sure. That's a great question. But he is – I mean, it's not going to always – he is going to have some huge games in there for sure. Carson said he'd take the 2019 William Schofield team over this. I love that team. Great team. But, again, the 18-19 team actually had really bad defensive numbers, and you saw it in the tournament. I mean, Iowa and Purdue both just went nuts, and some of it was just hitting deep shots. I mean, the Purdue game in particular,
yep.
Ryan Klein just from 28 over. Like, what are you supposed to do? But that wasn't a great defensive team. It's really the – of all these teams, the one that wasn't a great defensive team or even really good. And this team, I mean, if you match this team up with that team – I'm taking this team at most places. And Grant Williams, as great as he was, he's not what Dalton Connect is. Dalton Connect is a lottery pick who can take over a game offensively. Grant Williams, not quite that.
Jason from Mount Juliet says, this team does feel different in one regard. When they get down by double digits, they ratchet up the aggressiveness on defense and pound the paint, get right back in it. They have the resiliency to fight back. And they do it against good teams. This is from Jason from Mount Juliet on the text line.
Yeah, exactly. Like they, you know, and that's the thing. We'll see. I mean, we're going to see in one of these games. They're going to get in some dicey situations. I mean, you don't expect it in the first game, whether they're a one or a two. They're going to be one of those two things. You know, you expect them to handle a 15 or 16. Sometimes it doesn't work out that way, but you expect it.
Man,
but,
if that happens this year.
Yeah. How about that?
Oh,
huh?
Boy.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing, too. It's like, I mean, think about that with Virginia. In fact, I remember I was in Dallas with the Vols in 2018 when that happened. And it was like, you know, at that point, it's like, yeah, I mean, Tony Bennett, you may as well just – and then, of course, the next year they win it all,
yeah.
You know. But, yeah, this is not the team for that to happen. That would be devastating. Yeah, we'll see, but I do think that with, like, James Vescovy and those guys, they've been through all this stuff, you know. And so I do think that 2 years ago, we talked about the time, I think those guys had a lot of pressure. They felt a lot of pressure to do this for Rick Barnes. And I don't think it helped them. I really don't. And that's something that you gotta get over that stuff. But those guys have been through so many ups and downs, those two in particular, James and Vescovy. I just feel like this year, I think they're going to play well. I think they're going to play well in the tournament. And if they do, if you go through Tennessee – and their losses this year, the two things that happen. One, they score less than 70 points. It's basically like if Tennessee gets to 70 or above, they're going to win. They don't want grinding games. Even though their defensive numbers are great, they don't want those games. They want to play an up-tempo style, And if their offense gets to 70, they're going to win. And also in those losses, it's almost guaranteed those two guys do almost nothing offensively. You just got to get a little bit from them. They didn't have huge games, but, you know, James has, what, 11 points and 13 rebounds. Vescovy, I don't have it in front of me. He might have had, like, seven points. That's fine. And then everything else they do defensively and all that stuff. Just enough chip in and involvement. And they're going to be both of them in some moments where they have wide open shots in this month. And they got to hit some of them. But I think they're ready to do that. I really do. It's, the weight of the world is not on them like it was because of Dalton Kennett.
Well, the thing is, Kennett can create his own shot. So, I mean, he's going to get doubled. And we saw that on Saturday night some. Number one, I thought he did a good job of, for the most part, making the right play when that did happen. And, I mean, at some point, it's going to come down to trusting your teammates to hit open shots when you find them. I also think, you know, look, the great players in college basketball, they get doubled a lot. They still get through it, and they go score. That's what they do. And, you know, Kennett has shown that he can do that. I mean, you can double him. Sometimes he beats the double, and that's what your great players do, and that's an element that they've not had that level. I agree. Like, Schofield was great. Grant Williams is great. That team was really good. But nobody could create their own shot like Kennett can, and he could do it in a variety of different ways. And, you know, that doesn't guarantee anything, but it is, I think, a weapon that they just haven't had anybody quite like him heading into a tournament before.
And there aren't that many. I mean, look, he's got range out to like 26 feet, plus he's really good at the mid-range, you know, high post up. And when he gets going downhill, I mean, he's 6'8 and super athletic.
Yeah.
I mean, that's why he's going very high in the NBA draft. I don't know if he's going to be the top college player. That's what Jimmy Dice keeps saying now. He's going to be the top college player. Dillingham is interesting to me for Kentucky. I mean, you know, we'll see. But yeah, he's probably a top 10 pick. And, I mean, he's the most talented player Tennessee's had since Allen Houston when they had terrible teams that didn't matter.
By the way, that game's setting up to be interesting at the end of the year, Tennessee-Kentucky. Yeah, Kentucky gave up 102 points.
I'm in, baby.
And they still won. What was it, 110 to 102, something like that?
Yeah. Oh, I'm in.
Could be some fireworks.
Yeah. And it could be, you know, I mean, Kentucky still has a chance possibly to play for the SEC title. But that's going to be a lot of fun. I mean, that's the thing. The SEC, not only is it good, but it's like, I mean, this is up. You always complain about these 58, 55 college basketball. SEC is not doing that stuff this year.
Well, that's fine with me.
Yeah.
I'm glad I'm complaining about it. This is like the tight ends a couple years ago when I was calling out every tight end in the state, and then they all started to play well after that. I take credit for the SEC becoming a really fun and entertaining scoring league this year.
I forgot about that. Yeah.
Princeton Fant, catch the ball. Now Princeton Fant scoring 10 touchdowns on the ground for Tennessee that year.
Like, Stilley is the one who always is like, ah, because I said this happened. Like, no, there's no way. But actually, you were the one with the power.
Austin Hooper, what happened to you? And Austin Hooper starts making plays.
That's right.
All I had to do was just whine about college basketball, and now it's very entertaining.
It is. I mean, if you like defense, sometimes you watch Kentucky, you're like, dude, it's a ball screen? Go over there? No, you don't just let them go? No, what? What do you? But, my gosh, are they fun.
Gave up 102 points to Arkansas.
Yeah.
And won.
And they had to have a late surge to win. I mean, but, they could go into Knoxville Saturday and win. I mean, They are loaded with skill.
You going
Big
Saturday?
Z? I am going.
Oh,
yeah.
Boy.
I know. I'm all on the Vols, man. I'm on the Vols train all the way. Looking forward to L.A. in about 3 weeks.
615-737-1025, our phone number. We'll take more of your thoughts on Tennessee basketball, their big win against Alabama. We'll get to some quick thoughts on the NFL Combine as well. The Rob Rant coming up at 745. Corey Curtis from News 2 at 8 o'clock. Well, I could go on tight ends.
I'm looking forward to the Rob rant.
Yeah, I am too. 615-737-1025, our phone number. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Preds fans, don't miss this Wednesday night Smashville live show at Brewhouse 100 in Bellevue, starting at 6 o'clock. See your Preds star players up close and personal, plus your chance for autographs and pictures as well. This week's guests are Alex Carrier and Jeremy Lozon. Smashville Live brought to you by the Black Abbey Brewing Company and ESPN Bet Sportsbook. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rexrode, Nick Keyser here with you on this Monday morning. Taking your thoughts, 615-737-1025. Rob Rant coming up at 7:45. Corey Curtis from News 2 at 8 o'clock. I was watching highlights are probably the wrong word, but I was watching some clips over the weekend, Joe, from the NFL Combine.
Uh-huh.
And I was scrolling through TikTok, and it came like this. I guess the NFL put it out there, and it came across my screen. It was like, which quarterback do you think threw the hardest at the NFL Combine? And it's like throwing, you know the drill where they
there's no question.
They take the step back and they throw it up just, against the wall.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, guys, I think I know who's going to win this.
Yeah, it's an easy
one. And it was Joe Milton who won, who threw the ball the hardest. 62 miles an hour was the official clock
for Joe Milton. Devin Leary had 61, right?
Devin Leary had 60. McCarthy had 61.
Ah, okay. I think I saw that same one.
And I still, like, you watch Milton throw it, and you're like, yeah, I think you could throw a little harder than that. Like, it felt like he threw about 75% effort.
I think maybe he took it easy on everybody else. He also, I think he had a 78-yard?
Yeah, 78.
78-yard completion? Yeah.
Completion.
Yeah. Because made a big deal about McCarthy. He had like a 60-yard completion, which, by the way, the receiver had to pull up a little bit.
Yeah.
And then Milton, how about 78?
And just slung it.
In your eye right here.
Well, look, in all seriousness for him, I don't know what it's going to mean for his draft status. You know, I've seen some mock drafts that have him going, you know, sixth round, somewhere in that neighborhood. But I would assume that he probably helped himself, given the way – I mean, look, when you throw it as far as he did, and, you know, he didn't have any, like, egregious misses from what I saw. So I would assume that Milton probably helped himself at the NFL Combine.
Yeah.
And we'll see what that means towards where he's going to get drafted. I mean, nobody's drafting him to be their starting quarterback, but – as a developmental piece, I'm sure somebody somewhere along the way here is going to be intrigued by him with the arm strength.
Yeah, no, I think so. I'm sure he helped himself in the interviews. I mean, he'll be on a team. He'll get drafted. What was our?
If it's later than the fifth round,
you win.
I win.
Yeah. Okay. So I
another lunch on the line.
Stupid of me. No, I don't know. Maybe
Maybe he helped himself up to the fifth round. All he's got to do is be the last pick of the fifth round, and you win.
Yeah, he might have. I could see him. I mean, honestly, I could even see him like as high as a fourth, but, yeah, we'll see. I just think the film last year, you know, isn't going to help him, and just the consistent accuracy piece of this is tough. And, look, I mean, this is – like the offense until someone, and I think Hendon Hooker can be that guy at some point, but that's another thing too. Like he got drafted by a team who just made the NFC title game and now is probably going to extend their guy. So yeah. It's like it might be a bit, but you know, this offense, Heupel needs someone to come in the NFL and be good. I mean, I think it'll happen, but Milton's not that guy.
Xavier Worthy. Set the NFL Combine record of the 4.21 40-yard dash. You know, wide receiver.
Pretty
We've
good.
Talked about options. We've talked about the Titans needing to get faster at wide receiver. That would qualify as getting faster at wide receiver if Worthy ends up being the guy.
A lot of talk about
him coming off this weekend.
Yeah. No, that's a heck of a number, man, 4.21. And it's not like he's tiny. I mean, what does that do for his draft stock? I mean, some of the other testing, you know, is also really important, and we totally focus in on the 40, but still, that's a whoa number.
Yeah, I mean, it's, look, largely the NFL Combine stuff, I'm always super hesitant to even talk about it because I just don't care, and a lot of times it doesn't translate to what we see on the field. Like, you know, I'm sure A.J. Brown's – I have to go look at what A.J. Brown's 40 was, but I can guarantee you it wasn't like 4.3. A.J. Brown runs pretty well out there.
Yeah, I think it's going to work out okay.
Yeah, I think it's going to work out okay. The play speed sometimes is a little bit different than what you're doing at the 40-yard dash.
No doubt.
I do pay attention to 4.21. That's pretty good speed. Like there is a certain threshold where you're like, oh, okay, yeah, that guy can run.
Yeah, like if it's just like you're going to get behind people. Yeah, you know? No matter what, just it is hard to – yeah, you know, it's just when it's that – but when it's that good – and the thing is, if you watch him at Texas, it's not like he didn't – look fast when he's playing football too. So now the receiver, I mean, we focus in on the top three guys, but there are a lot of receivers in this draft who are very enticing, I would say. So if the Titans, if it does end up going OT, you know, with the first pick, the Titans are going to, with their second pick, if that's the way they go, I would think they would have some very good options available to them.
So the official beginning of NFL free agency is next Wednesday, March 13th. There's the legal tampering period that takes place before then, so there will be deals that are made that are unofficial before next Wednesday. But next Wednesday is the official beginning of free agency at 3 p.m., which means, Joe, that for some of these quarterbacks, i.e. Justin Fields this week, like you're probably going to see a move this week at some point or over the weekend early in the next week. You know, if it's going to be Caleb Williams that's drafted number one by the Bears or Drake May or whoever, if they're taking a quarterback, I would assume this week before free agency really sets in is when some of these deals around the league start to get put in motion. It's going to be an interesting time here with some of the quarterback movement.
Well, it is. You know, so like Diana Rossini, who, by the way, you know, hung out with her some last week, and I'm exhausted thinking about, like, her job. I mean, like, man, it is like just the phone does not stop ever. But
oh, is she doing stuff now? I thought her only source was Vrabel.
Yeah, well, it's all the stuff on all these teams. It's all Vrabel telling her stuff.
Vrabel, okay.
Yeah, telling her stuff about the Raiders.
Oh, and,
yeah.
I'm glad he's busy.
I know. It's good. I heard he was in Indy, you know, with a fake mustache, but I couldn't confirm that. But she has a story about the QB market kind of being soft for Justin Fields right now. The thing is, I do think that, like, if Cousins is really entertaining leaving Minnesota,
yeah,
that kind of holds it up, right?
I would think so.
I mean, it's like the Falcons, like, does Cousins have interest in the Falcons? You know, he loves that offense for sure. They've got some weapons. I mean, you could make the case. Whose future do you like better, the Falcons or the Vikings right now in the next couple years? What team has a better future, better roster outlook?
Well, I would go Falcons from a couple of different standpoints. Number one, I like their overall young pieces a little bit better. Like, obviously, Minnesota has Justin Jefferson, and that's great.
Yeah.
I like the young pieces a little bit better. I like the division better,
and Addison.
Too.
Yeah, that's true.
No, that's the thing.
No,
like,
yeah.
Lions are good. Packers have Jordan Love and the youngest roster in the league. Like, I think the path is better with Atlanta right now.
So, because to me, I've always kind of looked at Atlanta as a real possibility for Fields. But, I mean, if you're the Falcons and you look at that, I mean, Justin Fields – I mean, I think Justin Fields is going to be good. But it's just hard for me right now to sit here and say he's going to be great. And yeah. He's not as good right now as Kirk Cousins. So, if you're the Falcons, you're probably –
polar opposite players, but you're right.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah, but ultimately, the more valued thing is – again, balls out fast, balls in the right spot over and over and over again. And that's what he is. So I guess if I was the Falcons, I'd probably be more interested in Cousins. I don't know. I mean, it's also kind of, yeah, I mean, what you think of Fields and how you're approaching it, what you think the timeline is. But in the NFL, the timeline's never long, right? It's just like you really are like, what's the next couple of years?
Right.
How do we get somewhere in the next couple of years?
Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in Adam in Portland. Adam, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Yeah, man, it's weird. As you were talking about that 40 and not paying attention to it, Robbie, I always heard the term football speed growing up. You ever hear that?
Oh, yeah.
Like, dude got a good football speed. That's what AJ had. That's a lot of these dudes, man. Like, you look at the record that was just broken. John Ross has been out of the league for, like, 3 years, man. He made it one contract. He stayed hurt and, like, That's the thing with those fast guys, too. Like, if anything gets in the way of them, it's over, man. Like, I think we got, like, super lucky hitting on Chris Johnson. But I even remember getting, like, super pissed when they made that pick. Like, just a fast running back? Like, that sucks. Like, you know, we already had a running back at the time. So, I don't know, dude. Like, I don't put a whole lot of stock into the 40 either. You're right. Like, when it's somebody, especially when your team's as slow as our team is right now, you're like, maybe you'll look a little, but I don't put a ton of stock into the 40, man.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Adam. I mean, generally I'm with him. And the John Ross example is a great example of
someone talks to John Ross.
It takes more than just a fast 40 time to be an effective player in the league. And there's no question. Like, you got to be able to get open. You got to be able to run routes efficiently. You got to be able to do a lot of things if you're a wide receiver to be an effective player. I mean, I do think it helps when you look around and you say, oh, 4-2-1. Yeah, we'll take that. I mean, Chris Johnson's another good example. You're right, like, they took him in the first round, and they probably should not have taken a running back in the first round that year, but he ran a 4.24 at the combine. And then you watch him play, and you talk about football speed. That's an example where the track speed of what you see in the 40 and the football speed totally matched up, and he just ran away from people out there. And that's your hope. Like, when you talk about getting faster, you're hoping the football speed and the speed that you see in some of these drills adds up and makes and the math kind of equals out there.
Yeah. I just went to NFL, kind of like fastest 40 times of all time. Like Fabian Washington, Jacoby Ford, J.J. Nelson, Jalen Myrick, Calico. Calico, the 4.27, oh, yeah. Baby. Stanford.
When that guy's hamstrings were attached to his body, he could run.
Yeah.
Too often they were dangling off the body.
Stanford Route.
Sure.
You know, Goodwin, Marquise Goodwin, Jerome Mathis. You know, it's Dry Archer. Don't remember him. Kent State running back. There you go. You got Chris Johnson, and then you got, yeah, John Ross is a 4.22. I was sure John Ross was going to be a superstar, man. Heck, he was awesome at Washington, too. He also wasn't very big, and he was hurt. And it's far from, you know, the one testing superhero of recent years that actually worked out that it was Metcalf.
Yeah,
right?
For sure. But he wasn't that fast.
Right. But for his size, it was absurd.
He's really fast.
I mean, I still think that Tavondre Sweat running a, whatever he ran, a 5.2 at 3.66. That still blows my mind more than what Worthy did.
I mean, I still think one of the most impressive plays I've ever seen in an actual football game was when Metcalf chased down Buda Baker on the interception return. It was unbelievable to watch him run that whole play. It's like, geez, look at that guy. It's like Superman out there.
Yeah. I mean, it's – so – The whole is the combine over? Is it over now?
I don't know. Is it?
Like, they still have stuff going on? They got to be done now, right? Are they done? TD, are you still out there?
Saw all these like people still at the combine over the weekend. I was like, go home, leave, save yourself, get out of there.
How long are they going to make us wait?
615-737-1025, our phone number. Coming up next, it's time for the Rob Rant. You can check it out every morning at 7:45, either the Rob Rant or the Rex Rant. We'll do that next. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, the game.
Don't make me angry.
Sometimes you have to tell someone to pound sand.
You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
This is the Rob Rant.
Now
on Robbie and Rex Road.
You are 100% incorrect.
It doesn't matter what you think.
You're walking around with mints loose in your pocket, handing them to people.
The jeans
like
it's were clean.
Wow.
It is that time of the day. Time for the Rob Rant here on Robbie and Rex Road. You can check it out every morning at 7:45. The Rex Rant, the Rob Rant. I have no mint talk today. There's no mints. Either wrapped or unwrapped.
Please let's forget that ever happened.
People still text me about that.
Great.
People were talking about that in the press room on Saturday at Bridgestone Arena.
Wonderful. I was down in Alabama like just handing them out all over the place. Come on, folks.
Does he really do that?
I
guess so.
Got them on my jacket. Mints?
Anybody need any mints? Got you covered. So I got to pick on our I was going to say he's our good friend. I don't think we've had him on the show yet. Buchagross. John Buchagross from ESPN.
Uh-oh. What'd he do?
He does a really good job, you know, obviously on SportsCenter, basically my entire life growing up watching Buchagross on SportsCenter. Now he's a part of ESPN's hockey coverage, so does play-by-play, does some of their studio stuff with them, and does a really good job, really passionate about hockey, all those things. So I saw his tweet yesterday. He said, I think we have our 16 playoff teams. Don't see anyone climbing the ladder. Time for a million trades. Let's go. So my first thought was, okay, well, Buchagross is a believer in the Preds. He believes they're getting in the playoffs. And then Buchagross follows it up with this. Unquestionably, the playoffs in the NHL should be expanded. It's good for business. 4 of 6 teams used to make the playoffs. Eventually, 16 of 21. Now it's 16 of 32. And I saw that yesterday, and my first thought was, oh, my God, can we stop expanding all these playoffs? One from the college football playoffs. And by the way, not just to harp on Buchagross because that's where I saw it. This is not a John Buchagross invention. There is a thought that the NHL is going to expand the playoffs at some point. And I'm fully aware that whether you're talking about the NFL, the NBA, the NHL, Major League Baseball, whatever, that money is ultimately the driving force behind most of the decisions that get made. What we can't have happen as someone who is just purely a sports fan, I understand that money makes the world go round and money is what you're looking for when you're these leagues. We cannot get to the point as a nation, as sports leagues in this nation, where we allow it to be the only thing that we make our decisions on. They're making the playoffs in professional sports should be some level of an accomplishment. And you already have half the league making it. 16 of 32 teams, and he's right. I mean, it used to be a lot worse, which is, by the way, why I think they're going to expand.
Four of six. Come on, man.
It is kind of is what it is at that point. But we have got the playoffs should mean something. Like, you making the playoffs in professional sports should be an accomplishment. And, look, the hockey playoffs are great, and if you expanded it, would there be a team at some point that was like the 20th team to qualify for the playoffs that ended up going on a crazy run and getting to the cup final or winning the cup? Yeah, probably. Like, it would probably happen at some point, because for some reason in this sport it happens, and in most other sports it doesn't. So there is that to consider. But I hate the idea of expanding the NHL playoffs. Leave it at 16. Leave it the way it is. Let's hold on to the playoffs and making the playoffs actually meaning something and having some level of meaning to the regular season. Because, if you expanded to 20, and some people are talking about 24, which I just think is absurd, if 24 out of 32 teams make the playoffs. Like, if 24 teams make the playoffs, why are you even playing? Like, why are you playing the regular season?
Yeah, make it a big tournament.
Just make it some gigantic tournament. So I saw this yesterday from Buchagross, and the term that he used, unquestionably, the playoffs should be expanded. No, I question very much that the playoffs should be expanded. Let's avoid this at all costs, and not let money be the only driving factor when we're making decisions in sports, please.
Awful. Hate it. I mean, the NBA, you know, that play-in stuff is stupid. So basically, I guess the NBA is, what, 20 of 30 now, right?
When you factor in the play-in, yeah. Which
so
20 I
of 30
like.
Have – yeah, no, I hate it too. Why would you go more – I mean, really, it should – like, less than half of your league should make the playoffs, right?
I agree.
I mean, so the NFL has gotten it to 14 of 32.
Which I think is a good number.
I mean,
you'd rather
I like 12.
Yeah.
But, yeah, no, it's a terrible idea. It's a terrible idea. And, you know, I mean, the NCAA tournament expansion stuff is – it's like a daily thing where I even think about it. I get so angry about this stuff. You know, Joe Lenardi saying, well, that's inevitable. So here's a great plan for 80. No, but I'm with you. I don't, it's just so watered down, and it's not any kind of an achievement. At some point, you know, then you're just playing the regular season. I mean, it's just like the trash teams and everybody else is in the playoffs. No,
and I hope that the people in charge of these leagues are smart enough to recognize that whatever the gain is, kind of in your short-sighted vision money-wise, hurts the game long-term. Like, if I'm I would be focusing on ways to get people more interested in your regular season if you're the NHL, right? Like, how do we spice up the regular season to get people more interested that way? Like, to me, if you expanded to 20, like, it makes the regular season less entertaining because you know that 20 teams out of 32 are making the playoffs. I mean, maybe it wouldn't be 20. Maybe it would be 18. But still, like, I think 16 is the perfect number. I think half the – I'm with you. Like, I think less than half the league should make the playoffs. But if you want to be exactly half, that's fine. Go be exactly half of the league. But – I feel like too often, and you know, it's really bad in college sports right now, which we've talked about. Money is the only thing that's driving it. It's money, 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 and that's why they're going straight from 12 to 14, and they're not going to stop at 14. They're going to keep going, and it's going to expand, because everybody wants as much money as they can possibly get. As pro sports, like I realize if you're Gary Bettman, if you're Adam Silver, Roger Goodell, I mean, you're trying to make as much money as you possibly can, and all those things have to factor in. But at some point, like, you also have to think about it's your responsibility as commissioners of these leagues, as owners of these leagues, to also be caretakers of the sport and to make sure that the sport is in good hands moving forward. And that's not just financially. That's making the right decisions for the long-term benefit of your game. And I feel like this would be in direct opposition to that.
Yeah, I mean, so we're in a city where it's been, you know, basically the last few years, like the Preds flirting with getting in or not, you know, and they've been right around that cut line. And I know that sometimes that has to do with like where you came from. So they were at a certain point, expectations got higher, the fan base grew, and it's sort of a struggle. So it's different if you're like a young team on the rise, but for the most part, it's kind of meh, right? About even getting into the playoffs with some of these teams that they've had recently. So then take it down further, you know, to the team, how the quality of the team that's, you know, in as the 10th team on the West or the 10th team in the East. It's just bad. Just like the NCAA tournament, they think of all these Power 5 huge fan base, Florida State and NC State and blah, blah, blah. They hate those teams. Like, Michigan State fans hate their team right now. They're getting the tournament. They hate their team. They don't care. They don't want to. So if your team is crappy, oh, now you can make the playoffs. First of all, it means less and less exactly. Because you have it's so watered down. And it doesn't even, it's like there's no excitement generated because it's like you don't like the team. They're not good. Like, playoff teams should be good.
Agreed.
You can't be all good if you keep expanding it.
Well, and again, like, you know, the NHL is a little different. Like, you know, I think part of what makes the play-in tournament to me so stupid in the NBA is that those teams never win anyway. Like, outside of the Miami Heat last year, who were the 8 seed, who were hurt all year,
yeah. that's the only scenario.
By the time the playoffs
right. yeah.
came around, and they were way better than a typical 8 seed. In the NBA, it never happens. Like, you're lower seeds never get to like the conference final or the NBA finals. It does happen more in the NHL, as we've seen here in Nashville. So, like I said, I have no doubt that at some point, if they expanded to 20 teams, would like the 19th or 20th team that made the playoffs make a deep run at some point? Yeah, probably so. That still doesn't mean that you should do it.
No.
Like, there has to be some level of reward for the regular season and it meaning something and making the playoffs.
And maybe even in that tournament, you know, you get down to that. I mean, it depends on the year, but I think for the most part, you wouldn't see much happening.
Probably not. I mean, look, the Wings made the playoffs 25 straight years from 83 to 2016. That's kind of means something, right? Like, and look, even that, like the league expanded twice, actually more than like three or four times during that stretch. So, I mean, the playoffs, it started out as an easier thing to do to make the playoffs. And then by the end of that streak, it was up to 30 teams at the time. So
I actually didn't realize it was 16 to 21 is absurd. I didn't realize it was ever that. Yeah. God.
It's not good. So let's just
that's what we're trying to get back to. No, that's you don't want to.
Let's avoid that. 615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. Coming up next, we'll be joined by Corey Curtis from News 2. We'll get his thoughts on the Predators' 8-game winning streak, his takeaways from the Titans brass at the NFL Combine, and a whole lot more. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.